time for us to get into our parenting conversation. And did you know that children can develop their school readiness skills through play? That's what we're looking at this morning, and how you can help your children develop their school readiness for play. Maybe you have a question on how you can do this. You can give us a call on 011-883-0702. Send us your SMSs on 31702 or your WhatsApp messages on 0727021702. Joined, as always, by our resident parenting and human potential expert, Nikki Bush. Nikki, as always, good to have you on the show. Good morning.
Good morning, Googs. And I think you hoaxed me because you said it was allergy month and I'm now sneezing.
So we are talking about play, but not, I mean, we've spoken about play before, about how it's good for developing, you know, motor skills and how you can encourage your kids to play to improve their concentration. This week, though, we're talking about play and how you can help your kids get ready for school. Tell us about that.
Right. So we have got a whole cohort of children who will be entering grade R and grade one next year. And you don't create a school readiness child the day before they go for their school readiness test. Mm-hmm. So do spend the rest of this year, to those who have those children, making sure that they have those foundational skills, of which there are many. And at this point, I'd like to say that I think we've picked an amazing topic, a really appropriate topic for Freedom Day. Because listening to the news just now and connecting what we're going to speak about in this section of the show, sadly, most South African children are still compromised educationally. There's overcrowding in classrooms. There are poor facilities. There are insufficient teachers. And so the ratio of teacher to child is way too high. And getting to the point of this conversation this morning is there is a lack of foundational skills. And so often we talk about the poor matric pass rate and the high dropout rate in grade 10, but the focus is in the wrong place. We should be looking at foundational skills that are acquired and embedded in children long before they go to formal school. So what is happening in the first 6 years of life? So I always say we need to be looking at, or parents should be looking for, play-based preschools. But very sadly, the government does not fund preschool education. So the bulk of the children going into primary school in our country do not have the gift of a preschool education in which these foundational perceptual skills are embedded through play. And we've also been sold another misnomer, and that is that the government will provide an education from the age of seven. And I really want to say to parents today who've got children in that foundation phase from birth through to the age of 6, 7 years of age, you are your child's primary teacher. Don't wait for learning to happen within the four walls of a classroom or within the pages of a book or on a computer screen. A lot of these foundational skills you can reinforce at home by playing with your children. The power rests in our hands. Don't wait, don't give away the gift of learning to somebody else when you can start at home. And so I really want to stress this. Parents, you are part of this journey. Don't wait for somebody else to do it.
You were looking at how parents can, A, be their children's primary educator. So before kids even start, I guess, formally learning, parents are already involved in that process. And also talking about school readiness. When your child is being tested for whether they're being ready, whether they are ready for school, what are they being tested for? What do those tests typically involve?
So there are many, many tests, but let's just talk about some high-level ones. Your child will be given a pair of scissors and a piece of paper, and it'll have certain lines on it, and they will have to be able to cut neatly with great fine motor control around those lines, perhaps cutting out shapes, etc. So there, the teachers will be looking at their fine motor skills, their eye-hand coordination. they will be given a puzzle to build. And we've spoken about this on the show before. Many children are able to build a puzzle on an iPad or on a tablet with a drag and drop, but they're not able to actually build a puzzle in the real world. Mm-hmm. And that involves motor planning and spatial planning. So these are concepts that are first developed in the body before they possess the mind. And there is a beautiful line that therapists use, that thoughts that never possess the body never possess the mind. And that's why we're talking about the power of play and what children can acquire at home and in a play-based preschool that will prepare them for big school. So we're looking at things like fine motor coordination, at gross motor coordination, which is the big muscles of the body. The fine motor is the combination of the hands and the fingers and the eyes in order to be able to write and read. And they're going to look at whether your child can notice things in the foreground, the midground, or the background. How able your child is to tune out all the distracting noises and movements and be able to focus on the task at hand. Mm-hmm. Those things are super, super important. So there will be lots of playing with matching of shapes, threading, matching of colors, your basic numbers, 1 to 10. Do children understand quantity? So it's one thing to be able to reel off your ABCs and your 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. But does your child understand that five objects makes up the number five? So children go through three stages of learning, or three phases of learning: concrete, semi-concrete, and abstract. So concrete will be the real thing, whether it is a real apple or a real shape, say a triangle, which is an apple and a triangle have got amazing qualities that are very specific to them. In the preschool years, we teach children about an apple, for example, that the apple is round, that the apple has a smooth, waxy skin, that it could be red, it could be green, that it is a food, it's a fruit. When they bite it, it makes a crunching sound. Can you hear? The words I'm using are all physical experiences. Inside the apple, it's white and it's juicy. And what does it taste like? It's sweet or it's sour. And inside the apple, there's a core. And in the core, there are seeds. So that's what we could plant to create another apple tree. Mm-hmm. So look at the amount of learning that a child has just experienced somewhere between the ages of 3, 4, and 5 about an apple. If they'd never actually touched an apple, tasted or smelt an apple, and you showed them a picture of an apple, which would be the semi-concrete version of an apple, would they really know what an apple was like? The answer would be no. It's just a picture. It's not an experience. And Einstein said, learning is experience. Everything else is just information. And in these early years, even, I must tell you, right into the adult years, because I do a lot of team dynamics workshops with corporate teams, I still go back to concrete learning. We don't change much. So we've said the concrete would be a real apple. Mm-hmm. The semi-concrete would be the picture of the apple. And the abstract would be the letter A, the letter A for apple. And it could be a number that we only have one apple, or maybe you've gone to the supermarket, bought a packet of apples, and you allow your preschooler to unpack the apples and put them in the fruit bowl, and they get to count how many apples are in the packet that they're putting into the fruit bowl. So now we've just done a numeracy exercise. And you could get them to lay all of those apples out in a line, and maybe there are 9 apples. And now you could tell them to take 2 apples away and then recount what is left. You've just done subtraction. This is called incidental learning. So in the preschool years, it's all this incidental learning. It's not formal learning. We don't sit a 3-year-old down and say, now this is the color red, and it's a triangle. We just do these incidental things. We teach them that a triangle, for example, has got three sides and three points, and a circle has no points and no sides because it's round. But they do this in a fun way. It's not sit down, chalk and talk. They are interacting with shapes, with colors. The teacher will say, go and stand on the red shape on the floor, because mm-hmm. there's a red and a blue and a green and an orange and a yellow shape on the floor. And so they take their whole body and they stand on the red shape. And then there's a whole discussion about red and what else is red in the world. So can you see how these are things that even parents can do at home? Go and find me something that's red in your cupboard.
Mm-hmm.
What is triangular shape to a five-year-old? You can ask them to tell you what else is a shape like a triangle. You can hold up a triangle for them out of an educational game, and they get to tell you about what else they know in the world is a triangle. So everything starts with the body when you are talking to a child under the age of 7. Otherwise, it has no meaning whatsoever.
Yeah. It sounds as though a lot of the learning is concrete learning, especially for this phase. And that sounds like that is the bulk of the learning that's needed for those school readiness tests, is a lot of concrete learning. So very tactile.
Very tactile. So we need to allow our children to experience different textures, different shapes, different colors. They need to have lots of different kinds of toys, like association games, where you have two-piece puzzles and there's a chicken and there's an egg, for example. There's a hammer and a nail. They need things that they can manipulate in order to strengthen their hands, like Play-Doh, like construction toys that they can push together and pull apart, that they can twist together, like you get construction toys which have got nuts and bolts, for example. And music, things like dolls and soft toys, so they can do fantasy play. These are all the important foundational skills. There are about 30 perceptual skills that children need to develop. And they involve things like matching and being able to tell the difference between different sounds, between things that they see. Body awareness and body image is something they teach in preschool that we can reinforce at home when you're dressing your child or teaching your child how to dress themselves. They learn about their body parts. Right, let's put your left foot in the left shoe. Let's put your right foot in the right shoe. Let's pull your t-shirt over your head. So the mathematical words about position, left, right, above, below, in front of, behind, full and empty, these are all things children can learn from their parents at home. In fact, I want to do a shout out to some parents who came to those events at the Nest in Rosebank this past week. I know they're going to be listening this evening. Lulama and Keke and Sutu and Emmanuel, who follow us on 702 every single weekend. And these were exactly the conversations we were having on Thursday night. And everybody was just quite blown away by how much you can achieve at home. Even if your child is in a good play-based preschool,
mm-hmm.
you need to be reinforcing what's happening at school because of the power of repetition. And I think the thing that everybody last week really discovered that nobody knew is that you must give your children shape games, matching shape games, stacking shape games, threading shape games, because the five shapes of the triangle, the rectangle, the circle, the square, and the diamond all contain the very lines that your child is going to experience when they start writing and reading. So the alphabet, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, contains straight lines that come, long straight lines that come from a rectangle, diagonal lines that come from a diamond and from a triangle, and round lines that come from a circle, and then the short straight lines that come from a square. So if you can just get a few shape games into your home, your child will be embedding those lines and shapes into their brains through their hands, through the sense of touch, that will already give them a head start in their ABCs.
And speaking of, learning through play, we do have Lulama, who you mentioned, Nikki, who's on the line to us from Winchester Hills. Lulama, a very good morning to you.
Oh, wow. Good morning, Gux and Nikki. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Yes.
Good, thank you. I just wanted to comment, Nikki, on her learning through play, interactive, as I call it, interactive session that we had with her this week. I just found as an adult that you also, it's practical exercises you're talking about, and I find myself as an adult needing to have some prep work. You know, I draw on the pre-season of sports at schools that I find, because we're so grown up and we've got so much, we've lost a bit of that learning, that fun that Nikki talks about, you know, learning through fun and play, that you kind of like, I find myself with Nikki, that she was the parent and I find myself as a child, because she was taking us through the practicals and saying like, okay, with the dice, the shapes, you know, what food types are a triangle? As an adult, you're kind of like, what food types are a triangle? And she was explaining how with the kids, they think of it very quickly because they don't worry about getting it wrong, anything like that. So just so that we're also at the same level as them while we're having fun. But just to say thank you so much, Nikki. We had a very engaging and a very, like, as I say, interactive session that's so, so relevant, and that learning through play that we need with the kids.
Mm. Thank you so much for that call, Lulama. Nikki, if someone is listening and is looking to find some resources, they missed the evening that you hosted this past week, is there somewhere where they can find some resources for helping
yes.
their kids learn through play?
Yes, just go to nikkibush.com, and if you just type play into the search window, lots of resources are going to come up. And we must just remember that play and learning are multi-sensory experiences, to Lulama's point. Children take in all that information through their senses, and the more senses that are involved in a learning experience, the more learning and the more they will remember. Mm-hmm. So go and have fun with your children. Play with your children. It is the least stressful way that you can teach your child absolutely anything.
Nikki, as always, great to have you on the show. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you, Gooks.
That is our resident parenting and human potential expert, Nikki Bush.